So we're just a little after one, and we're going to go ahead and get started. And Connie, I'm not sure if you can unmute or not. If you still have trouble, maybe you can. We'll just let you ride along and listen this time. We'll have to probably Julie and I can talk about this after the meeting. Do some introductions here. We have our director on now, and we'll start with myself. We just had someone join in with us. It doesn't say the right name. I don't know why I have to keep changing it. Kim Walford, Independent Living Program Administrator. We have Emily. Do you want to unmute and introduce yourself? Thanks for joining.
Good afternoon. I'm Emily Warren, Director of the Department for the Blind.
Great. Susan.
I'm Susan Howard, and I'm the Independent Living Rehabilitation Teacher for the Southeast Corner.
Thank you. Lori, can you unmute and introduce yourself?
Lori Berglund, Independent Living Rehabilitation Teacher, North Central Iowa.
Thank you. Alyssa, can you unmute and introduce yourself?
Yep, I'm Alyssa Munsterman, and I'm the newest Independent Living Teacher, and I share Polk County with Mark Edge, and I cover 15 counties kind of going down central to the southern border.
Thank you. Monica, could you please unmute and introduce yourself?
Sure. My name's Monica Vineski, and I'm an independent living teacher that covers the southwest part of Iowa.
Terrific. Kelsey.
I'm Kelsey Hansen, and I'm an independent living teacher, and I cover the northeast corner of Iowa, kind of, north of Dubuque and Blackhawk County and north.
Perfect. Thank you. Good afternoon, Marcella. Can you unmute and introduce yourself and share what you do?
Hi, my name is Marcella Edmonds. I am the resource specialist for the Independent Living Department, and I'm glad to be a part of this team. Thank you.
Thank you. Julie.
Hi, I'm Julie Skinner. I'm the Independent Living Secretary.
Thank you. And Connie, I know you were having a little bit of a technical difficulty unmuting. Are you able to type in the chat area? I'm assuming you're still having troubles unmuting. So Connie, I'm going to introduce you. Connie Mendenhall is an independent living teacher, and she serves our Eastern Corridor. We're so pleased to have her on board as well. Unfortunately, Mark Edge, who serves the Polk County area and a few other areas to the West Central region, was unable to make it today. It appears that we have a guest with us. Peter, do you want to introduce yourself?
Actually, that is the signatory. I'm Carrie Gerhard. I'm in Muscatine County. I went through Department for the Blind in, way back in 1981, and have been living independently since.
Okay, welcome. Okay, so, everybody, I'd want to welcome you to the first Independent Living Program Forum. We'll talk a little bit about the change from the Independent Living Advisory Committee to this forum in a moment. I'd like to turn this over to our Executive Director, Emily Wharton, to give us an agency update. And then after her, I'll provide an update, a program update. So, Emily, you want to take it away?
It's Kim. It has been a very busy summer at IDB. It seems like summer is always a very, very busy time. We've had a number of programs happening all at once. Starting off with our library, we had two teacher externs that came to work with us on making science, technology, and engineering and math, particularly subject areas and materials accessible for blind students in school. So that's a program that we've been participating in for a couple of years, and it's been very helpful to make connections and help teachers to understand how universal design and accessibility can benefit students in the classroom, all students in the classroom, but particularly create greater inclusion for blind students. We had a couple of AmeriCorps Vistas who took programming on the road to various public libraries across the state about Braille and raised awareness of Braille and library services throughout the state. That's a program also that we've been doing for several years now, creating those opportunities for folks to come to their local public library and learn a little bit about us. The library has been doing a great job on outreach. They were at the Des Moines Book Festival and have had a table at the farmers market this past weekend. So really working to get information out there about the services that our library provides, the services our agency provides, and then also, you know, all the resources available in terms of accessible educational materials for pre-K-12 youth in school. So they've been very, very busy working on all of that. In addition, there's summer reading programs going on and a different writing program to encourage youth to express themselves through writing. The library created a science, technology, engineering, and math ongoing program for the students in our LEAP program. That's our summer program for youth ages 14 to 21, and where they get to learn a lot of blindness skills and also have a lot of fun along the way and participate in social and challenging activities. So it was another great summer with LEAP. I really enjoyed the opportunity to get to spend some time with them and watch their growth throughout the summer. We held one self week, which is a program that we have for vocational rehabilitation clients to be able to come in to the building and gain a week's worth of training to kickstart their adjustment to blindness training and supercharge what they've been learning in the field. Let's see. We've skip everything IL related. The center has been adding additional students over the course of the summer. We've had two graduations recently and have a number of folks starting in September. And throughout the fall seems to be a good time for folks to start the center. Maybe it's the back to school thing. We will have our young adult transition program. This is a 4+ program for youth who have completed all their academic requirements to graduate from high school, but still have items left on their IEP in relation to living, learning, working that, you know, require further work. So we have 6 students participating in the YATP program this year. So that's exciting, our highest number yet. And we're looking forward to them being back in the building. They bring a lot of great energy. And it's been a little quiet between, you know, not having LEAP folks in the building when they were over at Grandview with LEAP, and then YATP not starting up yet. So it'll be nice to have that increased energy back in the building. And I'm thinking, there's been a number of different programs that we've been working on in terms of increasing our offerings in pre-employment transition services. That's a big, from the vocational rehabilitation standpoint, that's a big push from the Rehabilitation Services Administration that they really want us to focus in on serving youth ages 14 to 21 and increasing their engagement with the BR program and helping them to become aware of all the post-secondary education opportunities. So we have been working with the Dale Carnegie Institute to have different programmings talking about building self-confidence and self-efficacy in youth, and working on continuing those throughout the fall. We're going to have our teen retreats over the course of the fall and winter, and a wide variety of programming from our library. A lot of it science, technology, engineering, and math related. With our partnership with the Iowa South Central STEM Council, we've been able to have a lot of opportunities with that. And also, we'll be doing an assistive technology, access technology fair on October 14th here in Des Moines at the building. Wanted to let folks know about that. All are welcome to come and meet vendors who sell different access technology, ask questions of our staff, and learn more about all the different options that are available out there in terms of access technology. So that will be as part of our National Disability Employment Awareness Month, NDEAM, activities. We'll be, you know, working with our WIOA, Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Act core partners to do a lot of programming across the state, and we're doing different things on our own to increase the awareness of our agency, blindness, blind folks going to work, blind folks living independently in their homes and communities. And so there's going to be a lot going on going into the fall. We'll be kind of busy as usual, but it should be exciting times, and we have a lot to look forward to. So are there any questions? Well, Kim, I will pass it over to you.
Hey, well, thank you. So I'm going to start out by sharing a little bit about why we're switching over to this forum from the Independent Living Advisory Council. First, let me share that this council, the Advisory Council, has been meeting, gosh, I think probably since 1980, for well over 30 years. That group was a volunteer group and worked very closely with our program to help advise us on various program and policy matters. They also took information back to the respective communities to share with family and friends and other persons who were blind in the community. They also helped us promote issues related to our program and our agency. We found, though, both Emily and I, over the last several years, and also the teachers, that the composition of the committee was changing. Several people were retiring. Several people decided they were finding other interests and they wanted to change and do something different, which is not unusual. We were just having challenges in finding folks who were interested in filling those vacant seats. And so we started talking with the group that was left, very committed group of volunteers, and saying, we're just really not able to fill these vacancies and our group is shrinking, and what should we do? And so, knowing that this is not just a challenge for our agency, but it's a challenge across many state agencies and even for profit agencies to try to fill vacant committee seats. We decided that we would try this forum to see if we could garner more public participation, more public feedback, because we could take this forum, if you will, offer it up. People could sign up through govdelivery.com and join us on a quarterly basis. Our next one will be November 17 at 1 o'clock, but also we're turning this recording into what I guess I would call a podcast, so folks can listen to the podcast and provide us with valued feedback, letting us know their thoughts, their suggestions, comments. We really need to hear from people. And this, we believe, as well as the committee believes, that we would be able to get a broader spectrum of that public feedback. So we're going to try this. We're very excited to see how this pans out. We know that from the IL Directors Forum, it's worked well, and that's what we're hoping for with this new forum. Now, moving on, I wanted to share this out because I'm not sure how well known it is to the public. Our director has put out there our independent living program manual, our policy manual. It is located out on our IDB website, and our director has been very transparent about how we do our operations here, and I honestly appreciate that. Where that can be found by our constituents is under a heading called Administration. Then there's a link. Once you select Administration, you would go under Policies. And under Policies, you will find another link that you can select Independent Living Program Manual. So that manual will lay out all of our program policies and procedures. So if you have any questions about anything related to our program, that's where you'll find it. All right. You've heard December was a major change for the statewide Independent Living Council. We call it SILC, S-I-L-C. Dawn Francis retired. She tendered a letter, I guess, of retirement, and she transitioned out of that position after many, many years. I actually don't even recall when she started that position, to be very honest. But the council continued their business as usual. They posted the position immediately, and they did make an offer to Amy Robassi. By the way, that her last name is R-O-B-A-S-S-E, and she is now the new executive director of the SILC. She has been very busy in the business or in the office there, taking care of business of the SILC. One of her agenda items is to bring us together to look at the state plan and do a review of it. The state plan for independent living, which is called the SPIL, S-P-I-L, is not due to the Administration for Community Living, which is our federal partner, until September 30th, 2023. So those plans are due every 3 years, but we do reviews of those plans. Now, every year, annually, in December, we do have to provide a report and provide information and data, and that gets entered and submitted to Administration for Community Living, which, by the way, the acronym is ACL. So that's going on. And then Amy, the new director, is scheduling an upcoming training for the entire council. And so that includes the state partners. And so that will happen in Iowa City on September 6th and 7th. Both the sister agency, which is Iowa Vocational Rehabilitation Services, and myself will participate in that. I'm not clear yet if the agenda will include a review of the SPIL. I know we've been talking about that, so I anticipate it, but I'm not certain yet because we haven't received the agenda. The next topic I want to bring up is White Cane Awareness Day. Because we're not going to be meeting until November, I'd like to remind everybody that White Cane Awareness Day is every year on October 15th. For blind people, the white cane is an essential tool that gives us the ability to achieve full and independent life. It does allow blind citizens to move freely and safely from place to place, whether that be at work or school or around the community. Anyone can encourage their local government to use a White Cane Awareness Day proclamation. This is a great way to get involved with your local community and educate the public about the blind. So make an appointment with your local official to discuss this public awareness date. And it's going to give you a platform, of course. There are various online proclamations available if you wish to print one out and take it, but you will have to make an appointment usually with your local administration. Those online versions typically, from what I've seen, do come in Word or HTML versions. So keep that in mind and spread the word. Now, next, I want to talk about that our team is organizing an upcoming independent living integration training session in partnership with our Iowa Blindness Empowerment and Independence Center team. Independent living clients are nominated by our teachers to participate in a week-long training session here in Des Moines. We partner with consumer groups requesting them to sponsor and facilitate an evening together with our clients. This has worked very well for our clients, and it does resonate from the feedback that we receive at the conclusion of that training. I do want to say it's important for me to recognize that our local ICUB and NFB local chapter members do give selflessly, contribute of their time and their membership's financial resources to help us out for this very meaningful and memorable event. And so I wanted to make sure to give both consumer groups recognition and thank them for their contributions. We, and Julie, I don't want to steal your thunder, but I want to say that we are always in need of volunteers for our office. So I want to reach out to the public and say, if you're interested in helping us, we could use your help. We are in need of at least 2 days a week help in our office, possibly 3. If you're interested in getting involved and helping us in our office, Julie would be more than happy to hear from you. We have lots of things that can be done to move us along in our office. So please reach out to me or Julie. Let me give you my number, 515-250-1184. We'd love to have some volunteers come in, whether that be for a half a day, 3 days a week, or, you know, maybe even if all you can give is 1 day a week. We would love to hear from you. Finally, I just want to give a few stats, statistical information here for you about what we've been doing. So we pulled some stats from October of 2021, and we found that we've received 301 referrals since that date. We also received, since October 2021, through August 21st, 614 telephone calls. So that includes myself, teachers, and also Marcella. People call us all the time asking for referrals or information. And so we do keep busy. People will ask for things about where can I find housing, or, you know, I need Meals on Wheels, or my mom needs Meals on Wheels, and or can you tell me how I can get a hold of Disability Rights Iowa? And so we keep track of those calls on a monthly basis, and Julie records those for us. So that, you know, I think that's important because I don't think people know how much information we give out annually. Also, I think it's important for you to know that we have opened 151 new cases this year, and we've also closed 109 cases. We currently have 306 total active cases in the program. And last year, last fiscal year, the 2020 year, we served, according to our federal report, we served 351 individuals totally. So I just wanted to bring you up to date on those few things, and that is all I have for my report right now. I will open it up for questions if anybody has any.
So most of these opportunities to be on council and so forth are centrally located in Des Moines.
So the council, we do not have anymore because we're doing this forum. But the volunteer opportunity for the office would be Des Moines. There may be some additional volunteer opportunities, though, that we have available in the near future, such as planning opportunities, more long-term planning opportunities for I like perhaps fundraising or something like that for our program. And that wouldn't necessarily mean that a person would have to be here in Des Moines.
So the council meetings are by Zoom now?
So we no longer have the council, but the Zoom meetings that you're at right now is taking the place of the committee, the Independent Living Committee. They've rather disbanded, and we're having this instead. And the next meeting will be November 17, which we hope you come back.
I probably will. I'll be starting to get stir crazy at home.
We'd love to have you. That would be awesome. So it'll be 1 o'clock November 17 is our next meeting.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Any other questions? Okay, if not, can we go around now and just ask for a short teacher update? Susan, can we start with you?
Sure. Good afternoon. Yeah, mine is short. The end of May, I attended a Milestones, which is the Area Agency on Aging in the southeast corner. They did a Milestones Network luncheon. So there were about 25, 30 folks there from different agencies around the southeast. So it was good to network, but also it turned out to be a training for friends of Alzheimer's. So I am now a friend of Alzheimer's, and you can become a friend of Alzheimer's as well. So that was kind of neat. It just was kind of a review about Alzheimer's and related dementia, and then just, you know, how you would help someone that maybe you ran across who was having trouble due to their Alzheimer's or dementia. Out of that luncheon, they also were hoping to try to set up a monthly networking meeting for folks in the southeast. Some of the towns that I currently cover do have those meetings through Milestones. Burlington has one every 3 months. Mount Pleasant has one. So they were hoping to set something up like that where partners could get together and talk. So far, nothing has come from that, but hopefully it will. Let's see. In June, I spoke at the Davenport Support Group meeting. They had not met since COVID, and were just they're just taking the summer to see if they can get themselves back together, if they're able to start up again. And then, gosh, Kelsey, I don't remember when. Kelsey, Connie, and I spoke at the University of Iowa Hospital and Clinics with eye doctor students who were residents who were just starting their residency. We had the students, a couple of eye doctors, and just some staff from the eye department there. And I think that's it.
Well, I just saw my eye doctor, and his behavior was different for the better. So I think you did some good there.
Good.
Susan, just one quick question. It was my understanding there were about, was it about 200 people that showed up in all with the fellows?
No. Gosh, probably, I think, I can't remember what we counted. There were probably 10 or 15 in the room, and then a couple joined by Zoom.
Oh.
Yeah, so these were just new residents who were just starting in.
Okay.
But I would guess, I was recently seen in, I believe they're calling it now, visual rehabilitation, and I would assume that physician who is in charge of that unit was there.
Wilkinson, Dr. Wilkinson?
Yes.
Yes, he was.
He was there. Yeah. Yep.
Very good. He's the one who is behaving differently.
Oh, that's good.
That is good to hear.
It was good.
That's good to hear. It is.
Yes, yeah. That's good to hear. I don't know. I'm sorry if I'm laughing, but that's good. Thank you.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, I think I'm sure he's over retirement age, but hopefully he'll pass that knowledge on. Yeah.
Thank you for sharing. Thank you, Susan. Lori, can you provide a short update for us?
Yes. So similar to Susan's group, the Spencer support group has started meeting again after COVID. So they've seen their numbers decrease slightly, but they're optimistic that they will continue to grow. So I was able to speak with them and share some of the newer things from the department. Several of them are former clients. And so it was interesting for them to learn about some of the things that we're doing that we maybe haven't before. I also had an opportunity to speak to about 20 residents at an assisted living facility in Orange City and demonstrate a lot of the things that we work with clients on. And we'll be speaking with two groups in the Storm Lake area within the next month. So I'm excited about those opportunities. I've been doing some outreach to various agencies, hoping that I'll be able to make some connections there. I've had about half a dozen new applications since last we met. So getting to meet new people and start new plans is always exciting. And so I also have a few people that are completing their goals. So that's just as exciting. So I'll miss working with them, but I'm happy that they are achieving their goals and living independently so they can stay in their homes. And so that's always fun to see too.
Thank you, Lori, for that update. Appreciate it. Miss Monica, do you have an update for us?
Hello. Yeah, and Lori, we forgot to mention your CBT in June that we did together.
I did. I forgot.
Yeah, Lori. Thank you. Lori put together a CBT in Rock Rapids, and I went into her region and assisted her with 4 participants in that for a day.
What is CBT?
A community-based training. So it's a group training.
Okay.
And we worked on kitchen skills and cane skills, and we had a business class discussion. Similar to Lori, I've had an explosion of applicants too. I think last time we spoke as a group like this, I've had 9 or 10 applicants. I've done a few closures as well. There's going to be a couple more, I think, next week. I have some public speakings. I just firmed up one this morning for Sioux City in a senior apartment building. There's also a facility in Council Bluffs that I've been communicating with that I'm probably going to have a speaking set up soon in September, October. That's probably about it.
That's very exciting. There are 3 blind people in my congregation alone. And one is in assisted living. One lives on a farm with her husband. And I try to give them pointers, particularly on the use of transportation provided through the Area Agency on Aging. But they could use a lot more, and maybe this community-based model would work. Just putting it out there.
Yeah, that sounds like a great suggestion. Yep. And we actually have just, you know, anybody who's interested in our services, we have a referral, you know, process. Anybody can make a referral to our agency, and then a teacher will go out and visit and determine eligibility. And it's a very simple, easy process. So anytime, I mean, you can make a referral for your friend. You can make a referral for yourself. So it's a very, very simple process. And Marcella can maybe talk to that here. So Marcella, can I have you? Thank you. I love your smile, Marcella. Thank you. That's great. Can you unmute?
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. I appreciate that.
I was writing some notes when she was saying that.
Yeah. Okay. No, thank you.
Yes. Yes, I am the resource specialist, and I do take all referrals, and I receive them by email, phone calls, through the mail. So I can give you my direct number if you would like to take it down. And you can call me anytime you have questions. And people can also go on our website also and fill out a referral. But if they're not able to do that, I could do that with them over the phone. Just tell me when you're ready.
Almost, Marcella.
Take your time. Nope, take your time.
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay, so my first name is Marcella. And my phone number is 515-901. 8621.
So now I'm curious. I have made referrals before, but always with the individual's permission.
And that's fine, because even if you make a referral, once it's submitted or I receive it by mail or however I receive it, I will call that individual. I will tell them where the referral came to. I would explain to them about our training services, and they have to be in agreement to take the training.
Yeah, I'm just wondering how well that is received.
Well, sometimes I could put the magic touch on them. they'll be negative in the beginning, and if I keep talking to them, eventually I'll get them to see that they need the training and just to try it and see how it goes for them. And I had a lady the other day, it took me 2 hours, but we got her signed up.
Okay.
So, and, yes.
And just on a personal note, and this is true for these two people, so far, all I have needed is my white cane. But one of these individuals uses a walker, you know, the little wheelie, rolly type. And this has been suggested to me, but I'm like, I only have so many hands. What am I going to do? Attach this cane to the front of a walker? And the other lady is using a walking cane. So again, you know, I'm in a pickle when I'm trying to hold in an umbrella and use my cane at the same time. So I'm curious how that's handled.
This is Lori. I do have a few clients. Actually, one of my clients, her daughter found, I guess you would call it kind of a large twisty tie is how I would describe it. And they used it to kind of wrap one end around the front of the walker, and then they wrapped the other end really loosely around the cane, so that when she's holding on to the walker, the cane kind of continues to move. And she mainly travels in her home. We haven't worked outdoors yet, but she finds that way she can hold on to the walker, and she moves pretty slowly because she takes off the hand, uses the cane to check in front of her, and then takes another step. But it's been useful for her. Mm-hmm. And I have a few other clients who've asked the very same question that you did.
Yeah.
And actually, this is Emily. Sorry. Another suggestion I have is because I had I used to be a cane travel instructor myself. And if you get a walker that has, there's an attachment you can get to a walker that has a platform, they'll let you put your arm at a 90-degree angle. Mm-hmm. And so you can use your hand, you put that if you're right-handed on the right-hand side, right? And then you put your arm into that attachment. You know, it's kind of a padded thing where you just set your arm on it. And then you can use your cane that way. And it helps you move a little bit faster with a walker using a cane at the same time. So just throw that out there.
That sounds good because as I told a man who proposed to me last week at the hospital, and he was like, how are you navigating? And of course I had navigated right into his wheelchair. I said, well, I just go forward. You know, I said, sometimes I run into things like you. Sometimes I walk off a wall, you know, and I really want to avoid the walking off a wall.
Okay.
So that attachment for the walker would allow the cane to detect when I'm coming to a curb or walking off a wall or running into something before I do. It sounds like.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
I think I'm the only client here today.
And my other part that I want to report is we get all kind of referrals. Kim had said that we had got like 301 referrals from October 1st to August 15th, October 1st of 2021 to August 15th of this year. And also I receive phone calls from like international students that wants to come here and go to universities, Drake and you and I and so forth. And Kim and I have had discussions, and we have sent out IL teachers to help the new students to be able to navigate on campus and so forth. And it seemed like when I got that first phone call, then I got another one and another one. So it just to get the new information is just wonderful. Then you already have it that you could pass it on when the next person calls. And then my last part of my report is, Kim had said we had a total of 600 and did you say 43, Kim?
So which number are you looking for?
Phone calls. I'm sorry. You said 600.
Oh, yeah, 614 in all. 14. For all of us. Yep.
Okay. And I did my tally from the dates from October to yesterday, the 23rd of August, and 330 was the ones that I had taken. So I just wanted to pass that on. Are there any more questions? Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Marcella. Kelsey.
Hi. So let's see. I've had a very, very busy summer. I have had about 9 or 10 applicants since June or July. And then I've also done about 4 speaking engagements. I did one up in Decorah, and I got 2 clients from that one. And then I did 2 in Dubuque. And then I did the one with Susan in Iowa City as well. That one went really well, I thought. And so I also have another one scheduled for September in Clear Lake and one in October at the Allen Nursing College, which I do a couple times a year just to, you know, educate nurses on blindness and stuff. So very, very busy. I've been doing a lot of outreach. You know, I'm seeing a lot of success with my clients. I think that's about it for me here.
Thank you, Kelsey. And next we have Alyssa. I don't think did I get you already, Alyssa? I don't think so.
Nope.
Did I?
Just the introduction.
Yeah.
I'm Alyssa Munsterman, and I'm the newest IL teacher. I just started out on my own just recently. So I've been working up to getting more clients. So I've been getting all the referrals from Polk County. So I've been doing about 2 to 3 applications a week because I've been getting quite a few. But now that Mark and I are more, Mark's the other one that covers Polk County, which isn't here today. We were kind of trying to level out our caseload. So we're about equal now. So he's going to start getting referrals from Polk County again soon. And so that's been fun, meeting the new people and creating new plans. It's always exciting, like Lori says. So it's been a great experience. It's been fun being out on my own, you know, but of course it's kind of scary at first because I'm like, oh my, I'm out on my own, not with Mark or Susan anymore. But no, it's great, especially meeting new people, which I love, and I love helping people. So it's great. I cover 15 counties, including Polk, like I said, with Mark. And I just wanted to share too, I know Mark's not here today, but the Polk County support group that he helped start a couple years ago, they're now meeting, they're still meeting every Thursday, but the 3 Thursdays, they are now meeting by phone because they were doing every other week, they were meeting at one of the co-ops of 2 of the ladies' homes. But just with gas prices and things and just transportation, they've narrowed it down to just now they're on the phone 3 times a month. But that 3rd Thursday, they're meeting at 11 here at the department. So they're meeting there and they decided to do 11. So if they want to, they can go out and have lunch together or they might have a potluck. So it just depends. They just had last Thursday was the in-person here at IDB. I would have attended that, but I was out that day. So I've been trying to attend those as well sometimes when I can. But yeah, they're a good group and they're a fun time. So I like working with the support group.
They're a great group and the potluck was fabulous.
Oh, you went, Kim?
Yeah.
I know. I was sad to miss it because I can't remember if that's the first or the second time they've met here at IDB. So
Yeah.
They're a good group.
No, I couldn't afford to miss it. I missed those guys. It was great to see them back at the building.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't see Connie. I know she's on her way back in the building, but she hasn't logged back on. So I just want to open it up for any final comments from anybody, questions.
I have a question, Kim. Yes, Alyssa, ma'am. This question is for Alyssa. So sure. If somebody wants to join that support group that lives in the Des Moines area, who should they contact?
They could probably contact either Mark and I, and we could give them the phone number for that. Because lots of times when we have new people that want to join, we kind of want to introduce them to the group and kind of even maybe bring them to the one, in-person one, so they can just kind of get to know everybody. Kind of thing. So, yeah.
Okay.
The other way, Marcella, is there is listed on our website. Yes. All of the support groups are listed.
Okay.
With a contact person's name and phone number. So if somebody wants to independently go online to the Iowa Department for the Blind, all the support groups across the state that are meeting are listed there with the contact person's name and phone number.
Okay, thank you.
So those could be people, Marcella, that do not have a plan with us too. You know, so if they just call in and ask if there's support groups, the website's a great to find their closest one.
Thank you.
Any other comments, questions? And just remember, for anyone listening to the podcast following this meeting, if you have any comments or questions following, we invite the public to call me or call Emily. We really want to hear from you, so please feel free to follow up. My number is 515-250-1184. Okay, so going once, going twice. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. And we will see you again on November 17 at 1:00. Okay? Have a great rest of your day and take good care.
You too.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.